We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Joining us right now is regular weekly spot, one of the all-time greats, the three-time Super Bowl champion, the Hall of Famer, one of the great wide receivers in the history of the NFL, number 88 in your program, our guy, Michael Irvin. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Man, what's up, guys? I'm doing well. How are you guys today?
I'm good, Mike.
I'm great.
I'm good, Mike.
I got a simple question for you about the Dallas Cowboys. Where the hell did that come from?
Man, tell me about it, man. It was finally an offense that doesn't give you an upset stomach, you know, watching it. And I talked about this at the beginning of the year, you know, when we do our little bold predictions. You know, I said in order for the Cowboys to win this year, as constructed, they will need Ezekiel Elliott almost to rush for, I predicted Emmitt 2,200 yards, but he has to be in the 1,800, 1,900 yard range. And also, they need Dak Prescott become an amalgamation of Tom Brady and Russell Wilson. That means Tom Brady in the pocket, because all he has is an inside game now with Cole Beasley. And then outside has to be the secondary play. But Russell Wilson, with his ability to get outside of the pocket, make plays with his arms, and use his legs. Last week, they showed me that amalgamation from the quarterback position, and that's why you saw production from this offense.
And on the other side of the ledger, what the hell has happened to this great Jaguar defense, Mike?
I mean, that's another whole story.
Oh my God! I mean, what? And I'll tell you this: watching that game last week, I got the feeling the Jaguars, they wanted to be anywhere but in Dallas playing the Cowboys.
Which blew my mind, especially you're coming off a loss.
Right. That's right.
You know, and I understand that there is these ups and downs that come with the season, right? Okay, so you lose a big game against a power, and then maybe you're coming in kind of looking at the Dallas Cowboys thinking, oh, well, you know, these are chumps. We're going to take care of the chumps, and we'll take care of them easily after losing to Kansas City 30-14. But you come in and lay an egg. I mean, totally an egg. And I'm not talking about just the 7 points you put up, because I know that's a possibility as long as you got B squared back there. As long as you got B squared, Blake Bortles, back there, putting up 7 points is a possibility. Giving up 40. Giving up 40. And you didn't give up 40 to the Kansas City Chiefs. Don't you get me around. Don't you get me right up thinking we got something to match the Kansas City Chiefs, when you know darn well the Cowboys ain't got nothing to match the Kansas City Chiefs. How you give up 30 to the Chiefs and then 40 to the Cowboys and get my hopes way up like that? What is wrong with these people?
So true. You know, we look around the league, and I thought the Jaguars were in this equation good defenses. Right. There are very few good defenses in this league, to the point where Joe and I were talking this week. There's really only one, and they're going to be tested against the Saints this week, and that's the Ravens. And what's incredible about the Ravens, they haven't even forced a lot of turnovers.
Chicago's in there somewhere.
Well,
now.
After what I saw this weekend.
To Osweiler this week.
Brock Osweiler.
Wait. It's a bad time for me to make a case for Chicago.
Yes, it is.
Coming off a loss to Brock Osweiler, it's a bad time for me to stand up here. Makes me feel like Cochran and all Johnny Cochran. I gotta come
on. Do you think
it doesn't fit, you must have quit.
If you give up 31, you ain't won, man.
Oh, the pain.
And, you know, Khalil Mack was kind of a non-factor in this game, which has been odd because every game this year he's wrecked football games for the Bear defense. That was just a weird game, that Bear-Dolphin game, man, all the way around.
It really was, man. And then for the guy to fumble right there on the goal line and give this game, give game, basically, to Chicago, and then they turn around, of course, and then didn't get the field goal, didn't get anything, and they come back and win the game. It was a weird, weird game, man. But man, Miami's been pretty weird. I mean, you know, Miami plays well, lose two games, they come back and beat a team like Chicago. It's a lot of that going around. It's hard, you know what I find? It's hard for teams to have sustained greatness now. I guess the league wanted some kind of parity to make sure everybody feels that they're in it. Well, they got that in a great way now, because from week to week, really, truly, truly, any team can beat any team, maybe except probably the Rams now, the way they're playing.
Well, you know, we'll see about that. Of course, talking to the great Michael Irvin, the Rams do look great. Now, I got to ask you this. All right, I hate to bring it up because it makes me dizzy. But what's your thoughts about what the situation with Odell is right now and the Giants in general?
And I see, you know, well, we're in an owners' meetings and everybody's going to ask more about Odell and everything and all of that. And it's just that's a hard situation. It's just a hard situation. And even in the comments Mara making, you know, he's eggshelling around Eli Manning. And I said this to people, and I said on air, I think Odell was speaking for more than just Odell. And I don't know. I'm not in the locker room, but my observation with the iGate, that locker room and people are starting to it's starting to get to a situation in the locker room where these guys are tired of hearing how garbage they are and probably not enough of giving the blame to where it belongs and where they think it belongs, like on the quarterback situations. Like Odell speaks, he spoke about that. Blows my mind. You know what I'm saying? So I have to believe something's going on in that locker room that just in case. And God, I'm going to tell you this too now. I am tired of the antics on the sideline, you know, arguing at the heater and all of that. But I'm even tired of us making news out of it.
Yeah.
Who gives a darn? It's like, we got to stop that. Odell's on the sideline arguing at the heater. We got an Odell camera. Oh, there's Odell yelling at the heater, yelling at the net, marrying the net. You know, who cares? let's stop following those antics. We'll cover that when Odell gets arrested. Let's cover it then. Right now, that's not even news to me. We need to focus on what's going on the football field. But since Odell is such a big mega star and international star, we cover that stuff because we know his ratings. I'm just tired of it.
You know, let me throw this out there too, okay? You know, the fact that this guy has won nothing. I mean, you know, it's one thing if this guy was a you know, had won championships. If he was you, he's got 3 Super Bowl rings. If he was Eli, he's won 2. He's won nothing. This team is 4-19 since they lost that playoff game a couple years ago to the Packers. I mean, he's a megastar, but I mean, come on. Am I missing something?
Let me flip this for you, because this is the part that shakes me a little bit, that just kind of rubs my skin down, is everybody saying, well, Odell's a distraction. A distraction from what? From 4-19? A distraction from losing? What are you talking about? Whatever. I mean, I'm with you on all of that. He hasn't won anything, but it's not like Odell is stopping you from winning games here.
Right,
find
right.
a reason why you're losing games, and let's stop trying to make it Odell and what he's saying. That has nothing to do with why you're 4-19. That's all I'm saying. That's the flip on that.
There's a lot of reasons why the Giants are 4-19. I mean, there's so many. I mean, you can go on both sides of the ball. They never get to the quarterback. They never sack the quarterback. They've had 7 combined sacks all season long. I think the Ravens beat that in a half.
They had 11.
But they beat it in the first half. And they almost doubled it. So they can't get to the quarterback. They can't cover anybody. That's on defense. They give up a ton of points. Their offensive line stinks. The quarterback hasn't played that well. I mean, there's a million reasons why the Giants have been garbage for 2 years now.
And that's what we should be talking about. That's what we should be talking about. More importantly than us talking about it, we can talk about all the stuff on the fringe. That's what they should be talking about. And I thought, I'm not even addressing all this junk anymore. I don't care. I got some real problems that I got to fix with my football team. I don't want to address all that junk. I'm done with it. I don't care about it anymore. All I care about is how can we win football games. Mm. We get caught up in everything, and we get caught up in all these things. How can we win football games? And to that, I will say to Jordan Evans, listen, we got to understand, too, guys, because we old heads. We old heads. We old heads, guys. And we see things in yesterday's eyes, not looking at tomorrow in today's eyes. And what I mean by that is, imagine when I did something crazy. I did some crazy stuff, but things didn't go right on Sunday. You dealt with it Monday in the newspaper. Maybe you had a little 3-minute spot on one of the news channels, you know, and then you kind of got on with your life. You can always say, well, I don't really read the papers. I didn't read what people say, all that. That day is gone. These dudes that's coming out speaking, you know, Alan Hearns came out talking to Cowboys, Odell Beck. You get people talking now. You know why? Because they are inundated. Not on a daily basis, not on a weekly basis, on an every second basis. On basics with social media. That's every second there's somebody on social media calling them a bum, and you guys are garbage, and you guys are sorry. And they feel like they got an answer to this. Mm. They feel like they have to answer. People didn't have access
right.
to us that way. They didn't have access to us that way. And they didn't have access to whatever everybody was saying. You either had to read this on Monday in the paper or Tuesday, or you had to get a set of DVR or a VCR or whatever to get it on the news. Now it's every second. So trying to keep these guys quiet with being inundated every second on social media is going to be what I call an impossibility. And since you've given up $80 million guaranteed, you got to start talking about them and find out a way to be partners with them, because you have no dominion over them anymore. Because you can't cut
them. Mm. We're talking to Michael Irvin. I gotta ask you something, because I heard this morning. You know, Peter King, who does a great job covering the NFL, was in the locker room of the Kansas City Chiefs after they lost to the Patriots. And one of the things he observed is that after they lost, they came in, they were very businesslike. They weren't even that mad. It was more like a confidence of, oh, we could play with these guys. As a fan, that kind of took me back a little bit, saying, wait a second, I would want my team pissed off. I would want them throwing things that they lost a winnable game to the Patriots. As a guy who's played in this league, is that a normal reaction after a loss like that, to be as businesslike as that? Or are you always angry after a loss, no matter how it happens?
Well, it depends on where you are with your team. Let's perspective this. Let's put this thing. Let's put the context. Let's put context around this. Now, this that you're talking about, I know they've had a great season. So far.
Yes.
And even that game was a great game. Listen, can we just say that was a great game? That was finger-licking good. That was everything you wanted in a game. I mean, I had an appetizer, a great meal, and they gave me dessert. They gave me dessert, too, and my nice Fokker cranberry, Belvedere and cranberry. It would sit right there on the table, too. I had a great meal with that day. It was a great game. But if I'm an older team, and I don't know, I'm on my last leg here and there, and I'm having this great season, and I lose that game to New England, I'm like, God, man, we lost again. I can't believe we lost again. What does it take to get these guys? But if I'm a young team, my chest is out. New England played the perfect game to beat us. The perfect game. Because my chest is saying the rain is over. The rain is over. Mm. And I think that's what you saw in Kansas City. They're thinking the rain is over. We are here now. And they just played the perfect game to beat us by 3 points. Then they had no penalties. The perfect game to beat us by 3 points. And right here in New England, the rain is over. Let's go fix the three issues we had in this game. And when we see them again, we'll take them. Approach I would be having in that locker room because of the youth that's in that locker room, and I believe that's what they're saying.
You know, speaking and talking to the great Michael Irvin, speaking of youth, I have to say this, okay? And you know me, I actually am excited about my football team, and you know what I'm talking about, the Jets. They got a lot of nice young players on his team. The quarterback is way ahead of schedule. I mean, I watched this kid play, and I said, this kid's only played 6 games in the NFL. I don't want to get nuts. I mean, they beat the Colts, they beat the Broncos, you know. But what do you think overall about this team?
I told you at the beginning of the year, I like the direction they were headed. I love the youth. I told Jamal when he got drafted, I said, man, he thought, because I was with George Abbott.
The old Giant,
And they thought, from the Giants, they thought he was going to get drafted by San Francisco earlier. And then I was like, man, God bless you. You drop right to New York. Now you build that young defense. And now you got a quarterback to build, to help build around on that offense. And, man, when you get this winning in New York, you write your own check. I love what the Jets are doing. I love it. Now, of course, they need more pieces.
Sure.
They need more
of course.
Pieces. But you heard what you said, Joe, you heard what you just said. You talked about, you said, hey, listen, I'm okay with what's going on right now. Because now you know you got a quarterback, and everything you're going through with this quarterback is going to benefit you down the road. You finally have settled on your quarterback, and you can deal with all of these other things that are coming in now, even these losses when they come in, because you know they're for your benefit later on. That's why I like everything that's going on with the New York Jets right now.
Yeah, it's been fun as a fan.
Yep.
You're seeing the growth. How come the Bengals can never beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in their own building?
That's unbelievable.
It's pathetic.
Yeah, that tripped me out, too. And how often do we sit up and pick the Bengals, saying, I'm going to drink the Bengal juice, and every time it makes you throw up when they play the Steelers. You know, you just come on, this is it. And I said to myself, if you don't win here, when will you ever win? That feeling you just told me that Kansas City should have had when they lost to Pittsburgh, when they lost to New England, is exactly what Cincinnati has to have when they lost to Pittsburgh. Oh, my God. Will we ever get by these guys? Will we ever get by these guys? It's just mind-boggling how they lose games every time to Pittsburgh. And now Pittsburgh didn't even have Le'Veon Bell, and you still lose the game to Pittsburgh, and they were in a bit of a flux. And you still can't get over that hump. It's a mental thing. There's no doubt in my mind that's a mental thing, because as constructed right now, I thought Cincinnati was a better football team.
Are we getting to the point, and I say this, I'm trying to be fair about this, where Burfict shouldn't be allowed to play football anymore? Because he's kind of a maniac.
That's a hard call. It's a hard call. And to be fair to all things, to be just. Fair says I give everybody the same thing. Just says I give people what they deserve. I'd rather be just than fair.
Right.
Folks out there, you want to be just than fair. I don't mean to give you that lesson, but I just wanted to drop that in there. You know, but just to be just, we are going to be looking for anything Vontae Burfict does. And anything he does. Because when you have this many strikes, we know there's a perpetual problem going on, that we know something's going to come up soon with Vontae Burfict. The league is going to address it, I'm pretty sure, on some level. But it'll be hard for me to ever say you got to take a man's living away from him. It's just hard for me to say that.
How good are the Chargers, Mike?
That's something I think we still have to find out. I mean, the Chargers won some games, but I want to see them fight against some of these really elite teams. Let me see you go up against Kansas City, and we'll see that here pretty soon. Let me see you play up against the New England Patriots and everything, you know. Because what have we seen out of the Chargers? You know, I want to consistently see you be able to win those games. And now with Melvin Gordon running like he's running now, remember Melvin Gordon supposed to be a guy to get outside and run. Now he's running between the tackles hard. It gives them a chance. I've always said Keenan Allen was one of the most underrated players, because he's one of the best receivers in this league. And of course, Phillip Rivers. I would like to see Phillip Rivers win something. Seems like he's been in the league for 100 years and hasn't won anything, but as he's been throwing the ball great for a long time, just hadn't won. So I would like to see him try to win, get some kind of winning in.
I wonder if not winning is going to keep him from getting into the Hall of Fame, because he's had a really, really good career. But you touched on it. He hasn't won anything, and that may hurt him.
He had a great career, having a great career. But he's in San Diego. He was in San Diego. He's in L.A. now. And he hasn't won at that level. And that's why you don't think he yearns for that? I mean, that's probably what keeps him going. He's made a ton of money. He has a ton of kids. He's going to need a ton of money with all the kids he has. Him and his wife over there, they're going to need a ton of money. But what drives him is that chase. And to that, Joe and Evan, that's why I say to people, there's a chance here that we can see the best Josh Gordon. There's a chance here, and I'm pulling for that because the allure of playing in a playoff, an impossible Super Bowl, is strong, and you hope it's stronger than the stronghold that's been holding him back. You hope that that's what gets him moving forward. The same thing we're talking about Phillip Rivers is missing and wanting so bad, that playoff and Super Bowl.
Is Marcus Mariota any good, Mike?
Oh, he's good. What do you mean? What kind of question is that?
He's a guy that's a high draft choice.
He's been sacked 11 times.
I understand that, but he's supposed to be a franchise quarterback. I'm asking you this question because what I see, I can't get excited about this guy. That's me.
Okay. Now, adjust your meter. Adjust your meter to a nerve issue in his throwing hand that the doctor says may take up to a year to get total feelings back. He even had on that old funny glove. So now if I adjust my meter to this guy is the second pick in the draft and he's playing like this, if I adjust the meter to this guy is really not healthy, but he's out here fighting with his team. Now I look at it from a different perspective.
Right.
Because even 75% of him is probably better than the backup they got rolling around over there.
So,
you know, and he's fighting it out. He's fighting it out and dealing with it, and I got to honor him for that.
So I'm watching the U on Saturday. I know you don't want me to bring this up.
Oh,
but
God,
who was the kid? I think it was one of the offensive linemen. In the last drive, you got the ball, and he pushes the kid for a personal from Virginia. It knocks him down from the back for a personal foul penalty to basically end the game. And that was rough.
I didn't see that. Yeah. I didn't see that. I was traveling. I didn't see that part of it.
Yeah.
I didn't see that part of it.
That was a tough loss.
That game was garbage. I saw most of the game, and I don't know. It's just, you know, kids are so funny. I know we had to put Rozier back in the game.
Right. He didn't play bad. He didn't play a bad game, really.
Rozier didn't play a bad game.
No.
Rozier came in and played, you know, played pretty good, actually. You know, played pretty good. And I thought, okay, you know, and I don't know how this affects, you know, because Rozier, I still think Nicosi gives them the best chance moving forward because he has a more talented arm. But, I mean, when I went to that game last year in Pitt, University of Miami, and it made me think about us as young.
That was the game they lost. That was the first loss of the year, right?
The first loss of the year.
Right.
And after the game, guys, I'm down by the locker room to see my son and Malik Rozier and all these kids come out and they're talking. And I said to my – and I'm looking around, and they're like, yeah, it's just lost. And I'm like, are you joking? Guys, we're undefeated. You had a chance right there. And it's Pitt. It's not Clemson. It's Pitt. You should have beaten Pitt. And I realized – this is what I realized, guys. This is what I realized. Shame on us as adults. We are walking around here – I'm traveling all around the world. I got my whole weekly feeling laying on these 17 and 18-year-old kids who really, they kind of ho-hummish about it. Like, I'm like, do you know what you just lost? You just lost undefeated. You just lost a chance. And they're like, yeah, that one didn't go our way. It just made me open my eyes to maybe you got to really kind of monitor your emotions when you're talking college football, because these are real kids that we are putting our lives around. When they lose, I'm down. When they win, I'm up. I'm talking noise to everybody. You know, it's just amazing the pressure that's on those kids at that level that we place on them.
Mm. Michael, always a pleasure,
Mike,
friend.
Mike, you know we love you, man. You're the best.
Yeah, I enjoy chatting with you guys, too,
always,
man. It's an interesting year, guys. Interesting year.
By the way, you're gonna have your work cut out for you selling the game tomorrow night. Just want to tell you that.
Denver, Arizona.
Yeah, wait, what do you mean? This game has a lot. There's a lot at stake. I know most people are talking champ playoffs and all that. I'm talking jobs. Yeah. Both of these teams are talking about firing.
I do want to see Josh Rosen. I'll say that.
That's fair.
So don't we like to slow down when we're driving on the road to see a car wreck? wreck. Well, I'm telling you, there's going to be a car wreck. Slow down and watch this.
That is true.
Yeah.
Thank you, Michael.
All right, Mike. Thanks, man.
All right, guys.
The great Michael Irvin. That's a good way to sell it.
Yeah. You
know, guys are going to get
fired. Slow it down.
It's a train wreck. Go watch it. Hey, Von Miller basically guaranteed a victory. He said, we're going to kick their asses.
I think Denver's better than them, but, I mean, we'll see.
I think so as well.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.